Good morning. I'm Bailey Nargang, the Communications Manager at Building Roots. Today, we're bringing you the final episode of In Times of Change, this special three-part series co-produced by CJRU and Building Roots tells the story of Building Roots' response to the COVID-19 pandemic in the Moss Park neighborhood over the course of 2020. Today, we're picking up the story at the turn of the seasons. Here's narrator Jennifer Hollett with episode 3, Nothing Stops Moss Park.
After a spring of stress and uncertainty, the summer months had brought some necessary time for rest and rejuvenation. Many people were still struggling with newly precarious circumstances, and COVID hadn't gone away. But cases were low, the sun was shining, things were growing, and there was music and art to be enjoyed safely. It was a moment to pause and take a breath. But that moment couldn't last forever. The seasons had started to change and headlines were warning that a second wave was on the way. The Building Roots team was bracing themselves for a challenging fall. This time around, they were more prepared. The new programs and support systems launched in the spring were still going strong and their volunteer team was continuing to grow. Even so, new issues quickly began to emerge. Here's Hannah and Dustin.
I think we started to see a couple things happening after summer as we headed into like the colder months during the pandemic.
I think like there was definitely this like realization, the opposite of the joy that kind of like came with the opportunity in the summer to all get together in some form outside. There was this like beyond the numbers going up and everything, though, that accelerated things around October, November, but like already we just realized there would be this going back inside thing that happens.
COVID-19 numbers started to go up, as well as the reality of cold weather in Canada and the barriers and obstacles that might create for everyone, and particularly for folks in our community who might have trouble getting out to access food or other essentials.
To identify what some of those main barriers would be, Building Roots put together some survey questions for community members. They focused on asking what programs people wanted to see in the colder months and what obstacles might exist to accessing them.
So that helped to inform our pathways forward, and as well as, you know, recognizing that with COVID-19 numbers going up in the cold weather, we might have to ramp up again on our food deliveries, and folks who might not need that support during July or August may need that support in December or January.
We all, I think, knew that this pandemic winter was going to be extra difficult. Like, there was a lot of conversation around mental health, addiction, and things like that, that may get worse in the face of the increased isolation in combination with winter time and cold months, which already be hard, especially on immigrants or people from warmer regions from within our community. So,
as temperatures began to drop, there was also increased concern for community members living outside.
Moving into the fall, another area of support was for folks living in the Moss Park encampment, so our unhoused neighbors. And we connected with a group called the Encampment Support Network, which is a group of volunteers who do outreach to multiple encampment sites around the city of Toronto. And the Moss Park encampment at the time when we started supporting was home to a community of 80 to 100 folks living in tents. You know, folks in the encampment were looking for permanent housing. There's a housing crisis in the city, and what we've seen is that cases of COVID-19 in shelters were going up because of conditions in the shelter system. So folks were finding communities in encampments, such as Moss Park, and finding it safer there. So we were looking to support folks in the encampment moving into fall and winter with things like winter supplies. So tents, sleeping bags, emergency blankets, and increased access to food, whether it be produce from Moss Park Market or warm meals from our partners like Tiffin Bay and Animal Liberation Kitchen and so on. So we connected closely with our partners there and volunteers who were really keen to come out and support, and did outreach directly with folks living in the encampment to identify what would be most beneficial for them moving into the colder months.
You might remember Katie from a little while ago. She talked about finding meaning in working with Building Roots during the pandemic. As part of her volunteering, she got really involved with encampment outreach. She saw firsthand how crucial it is to have those in-person contacts when trying to provide support.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially anybody who's probably against people living in the park, has never actually spoken to someone who lives in the park, you know? They probably just don't really understand it. I remember like years ago seeing, you know, people living in tents, like under the gardener and things like that. And I kind of never understood. I was like, why aren't these people just living in a shelter? I think it's really helped me understand, you know, everything the city's doing wrong and what, you know, what could be done differently and what these people actually need and why they're not getting what they need and what needs to be done to get them what they need. So it's kind of a band-aid solution a lot of the time, just providing them with meals and warm clothing and things like that. These are basic necessities that they should have access to anyways, but our government's not supporting them. So we step in and yeah, I think it's, unfortunately, it's very much needed because the government is failing people that are living in the parks, but yeah, I think they know the community is kind of there to help them, and I hope they feel supported.
So we got the opportunity to speak with so many wonderful folks there. And personally speaking, I realized that this is like a really tight knit, supportive, quite beautiful community, and further instantiating our support and our standing by in providing resources and just expressing our support for these community members that unfortunately right now have had to live in Moss Park outside through the cold months.
The Encampment Support Network, or ESN, has been working with folks in the Moss Park encampment since the beginning of COVID. So joining forces with them to help support encampment residents was a natural fit.
Working with ESN has been really wonderful. They have such deep connections with folks in the encampment and have been turning and moving and responding and acting nonstop. And it's admirable. I hope they're taking breaks. I hope they're resting. And these are the types of partnerships and organizational friendships that really allow us to extend our reach and work more deeply with folks in the community as well.
Yeah, to shout out also the Moss Park Overdose Prevention Site operating nearby and having started right there in Moss Park as another example of like a really direct action on the ground group that we're lucky to be able to partner with and learn from and help support.
ESN and the Moss Park Overdose Prevention Site are just a few of the organizations that Building Roots has partnered with. As we've already heard, they work with a bunch of different community members and organizations. Waleed Kigali Ali is another partner who played a vital role in their fall 2020 programming.
I'm a community organizer based in Regent Park. I am a transit enthusiast, environmentalist, and a supporter for opportunities for youth and our seniors and those that are marginalized in our society. I connected with Building Roots because of their grassroots initiatives to educate, engage, and also provide opportunities for residents to lead in Moss Park. Specifically, I love their events on Saturdays, their market. So, you know, Building Roots being there at the core of supporting Moss Park residents is why I connected with this lovely grassroots organization.
Amongst the chaos of COVID-19, October 2020 saw residents of the Toronto Centre riding heading to the polls for a federal by-election. Toronto Centre includes Moss Park and Waleed's neighbouring community of Regent Park. However, these neighbourhoods are often left out of electoral conversations. Building Roots wanted to make sure that didn't happen in Moss Park. Waleed, with all of his community organizing experience, was the perfect person to help.
The community engagement looked like, you know, there were Main Street flyering, there was outreach through various community WhatsApp groups. It was done over social media. It was done through, you know, limited canvases of certain spaces. You know, we try to ensure that as many folks knew about the by-election and most importantly, had an opportunity to express their views. And you know, they did so through petitions. They did so through attending all candidates' debates through Zoom. I remember I facilitated one with regards to community benefits. So it was a process where many residents, many organizations did their, I think, very best to ensure that, you know, the community's voices were not left out in the process, and that policymakers and folks who are seeking specifically to represent the community at the federal level had a better understanding of what those issues are.
I was able to meet with the different candidates myself outside the Moss Park Market, and we also hosted a Moss Park specific focused online.
It was like a forum to ask questions.
Yeah, there was just Moss Park was very kind of underrepresented in some of the other ones that the candidates were doing.
So we actually had a couple of the candidates come and speak here in the community. And all of this also provided us with the opportunity to engage community members in here in Moss Park and provide them the opportunity to ask questions that were important to them.
So it came together as a means to, you know, hold the candidates seeking public office accountable for commitments that they will make while they are elected. And it was organized by, you know, folks like Building Roots and other residents in Moss Park who really wanted to ensure there was a platform for residents to have their questions answered regarding the political process and regarding their priorities.
For Building Roots, it always comes back to the same thing. Their work is ultimately about making sure folks are able to guide what happens in their neighborhood based on their lived experiences.
There's a lot of things that we do at Building Roots. I mean, we offer a lot of programs and services to folks. We work with residents to identify what programs and services would be most beneficial, identifying gaps, opportunities, and so on. And there's also a lot of systems and structures that are very challenging. And that's when these sorts of forums or interactions with candidates become really, really important. So working to address those deeper systemic or structural challenges, barriers, or systems of oppression, and being able to interact on that level is really important work as well.
Yeah, community consultations are crucial, are important, because many of the decisions related to development or related to policy are made in closed doors, in boardrooms between you know, our banking representatives, government representatives, developers. And for too long have those community voices been missing in this very important conversation. I believe many of the folks who are going to be listen to this important conversation will agree that developments and decisions should be centered on communities' needs. That is how you are able to address the root causes of the lack of cohesion, social cohesion, of poverty, the root causes of the challenges that we all deal with as a society. So it's crucial that community voices are centered. And I, in fact, I'm going to make it clear that residents don't want to be consulted. It's not about consultation. They want to, through consensus, be part of the decision-making that will lead to the investments in their communities. They want to be respected. And I believe now, more than ever, we deserve a change in attitude in how developments and decisions are considered.
Between the by-election, amplified winter support, and all of the regular year-end stuff, the last few months of 2020 passed in a blur. As winter set in, Building Roots ran their Giving with Gratitude fundraising campaign through December, This campaign highlighted the values of giving to your community outside of just a few key days each year. They received a record number of donations to ensure community members could access food throughout the holiday season. And then, just like that, it was 2021. Of course, turning the page on a new calendar didn't mean that things were suddenly different. The change in year had no impact on day-to-day operations, but what it did offer was a chance to reflect on a year gone by. 2020 was a momentous year for Building Roots in the Moss Park community. There were so many people to acknowledge and so many accomplishments to celebrate. And really, that's why we're here telling this story. You may be listening to this in fall 2021, or maybe even later. Regardless of when, there's still so much to learn from these voices. Here's Hannah with a summary of what 2020 looked like from her perspective.
So we saw a lot of community members step up, reach out, and offer community care during COVID-19. And this looked like so many different beautiful gifts and offerings. A really broad overview, which is quantitative and not as pretty, and I'm sorry, sounds like 50 volunteers joining on at the beginning of COVID-19, over a dozen new partnerships, over a dozen new contributors to our Moss Park Market, bringing in baked treats and soups and pies, and really just folks looking to increase food access, looking to increase resources, and looking to connect and be part of a community and social cohesion efforts. And it also looked like folks who come by our market to access food bags, baking treats for the volunteers to say thank you for packing this food bag for me every Saturday and making healthy fruits and vegetables and dignified food options more accessible. It also looked like volunteer drivers saying, I love doing this, actually, it's the highlight of my week. Can I keep doing this? I wanna keep coming out. Can I do more? Can I come more days of the week? And just like offering more and more and more. It also looked like partners reaching out, like local chefs reaching out to their chef community and donating not only their baked treats from their kitchen, but connecting with several of their own chef and restaurateur networks and getting them to bake treats as well to drop off to the market. So kind of this snowball effect of communities showing up amidst a pandemic that is challenging for multiple reasons. And again, just showing this abundance of community care in so many different ways.
In her role as market manager, Tuba experiences this regularly.
We see so many people every single week. We know what's going on. We're making sure they're doing it right. They're also making sure we're doing it right. Even though we've been there so much for them, they've been there so much for us. There's so many community members that will check in on us. Like, oh, where are you? We haven't seen you. Like, you weren't here last week. Are you okay? You know, how's the day going? It's been very hot or it's been very cold. Are you guys doing all right?
So how are you doing today?
Good, good. Not so bad. The rain has cold off a lot.
They check in on us, and it's been such an overwhelming experience to have that connection with the community members.
The pandemic was a lot to take on personally, for myself and I know others on the team. And while navigating that, we also did our very best to support as many people as possible. It wasn't easy, but the outcome and impact has been nothing short of beautiful. And I really believe it couldn't have happened without our efforts to truly support one another.
The word unprecedented got thrown around a lot in 2020, and mostly in a negative context. But for Building Roots, it turned out to be a year of unprecedented support and connection.
We are a small and mighty team, but we are made so much stronger and more mighty with our community, which is a really large group of diverse folks. We were being told to not connect, to stay at home, to isolate, and we saw like a great amount of connection and social cohesion born out of this time. So I would say probably like the biggest gift or thing that we've seen out of all of this in terms of adapting is just like larger connection and like co-learning, which has been really awesome.
For Hannah, there was one specific kind of connection building that she was doing a lot of, and it became one of the highlights of her year.
Something that I took on as part of my role was outreach specifically to folks receiving our food delivery bags. And this included like calling sometimes 30 seniors and folks stuck at home a week, and sometimes double that. And like sometimes I would speak to these friendly strangers more than I would speak to my own friends for like several months now. And they're all wonderful people. There's one person in particular who still calls. We chat almost weekly about the food, what he might benefit from most. He is also receiving weekly books from our book share. So he'll get in touch and say what he'd like to read. He passes them on to his 75-year-old neighbor when he's done reading them because she wants to read them afterwards. He expresses so much gratitude for what we're doing at Building Roots, every single person on our team, everyone at the market, and like the food that he is receiving and what we've done for him over the past year. And like, I have so much gratitude for these little chats that we have.
Hannah's weekly telephone chat is actually with someone you're already familiar with. It's Craig, the resident of Moss Park, who we heard from earlier. This is what he had to say about how Building Roots has impacted him during the pandemic.
You know, they're just such a remarkable bunch of people, and they really deserve great accolades, because if they have made such a wonderful change in my nature and my attitude in a time which is precarious and extremely unpredictable times that we live in, it's nice to know. It's really heaven sent that an organization like Building Roots exists. And knowing that this is just not a, you know, 2 or 4 week thing and then it's over. This is going on and this is going on, and there's continuity there. There has been a number of times in the essence of my personal life, if I may say so, where continuity was just not there. And I realized the sufferings that I endured as a person because of that lack of continuity. I've always paralleled continuity with stability, and Building Roots really shines through in a very dark and sometimes pervasive city or even world that we live in right now, to be quite honest with you.
Moving forward, there are still some questions about what Building Roots long-term programming will look like, but Dustin feels optimistic about what the future holds.
I look forward to after COVID, whatever that means. These connections will persist and have already flourished in all kinds of ways, whether it's with, you know, the new influx of new volunteers, engagement with community members. None of that's dwindled at all. And so, you know, right now we've, I believe, collectively, communally done an incredible job responding to some of like the really urgent needs and urgent kind of immediate changes that we saw over the last year.
Nothing can really be settled while the pandemic continues to evolve, but the team wants to keep as much of their new programming going as they can. Even in a post-COVID world, the need for it doesn't seem like it will be going away anytime soon.
I think we're still in the process of discovering and learning about which of our programs are sustainable. An example of that might be our food bag delivery program. You know, you might say it was created as a response to COVID-19 and heightened isolation and vulnerabilities. However, what it has revealed is a new visibility around folks who are unable to leave their units. And that's not specific to COVID necessarily. there are community members who are unable to access food year-round outside of COVID, before COVID, and after COVID, most likely. Food security was an issue before the pandemic. Housing was an issue before the pandemic. You know, the marginalization and vulnerabilities of BIPOC folks was an issue before the pandemic. There is a new visibility around it now, or there's a heightened risk for these communities now. There were still these systemic or structural issues previously. There's just perhaps new conversations happening around it for different audiences now. And those conversations, in my opinion, are good conversations. And as a team, we'll have to decide how to make this program sustainable for ourselves, for our volunteers, for those who are supporting us, and for our community members after COVID-19 and into the future, and build it into our organization.
Something I think, which is a really positive thing, and I hope marks like a shift that sustains this level of community care into the future beyond COVID. We're not seeing a tapering off of the excitement for collaboration, of the relationships that have been built over the last year. And I truly do believe that this experience and just kind of like the collective tragedy has like created, I don't know, a lot of like compassion and action. It's inspiring, and I don't see it tapering off. And I hope and have a sense from all the conversations I've had that we will just continue from here to like work together and address the longstanding issues and new ones as they arise.
The volunteers, community members who have been supporting us, it's not for them. Yes, may have started when they were looking for something new to do through the pandemic, looking for ways to get involved, looking for ways to support, but they have stayed, and they are enthusiastic and excited to stay because they've learned so much, and they've built a connection to the community, and they've built this into a part of their life, into a part of their week.
As one of those volunteers who got involved because of COVID, Katie agrees. No matter what happens next, she won't be going anywhere.
Yeah, I have no plans to stop anytime soon. I'm glad that I found this during COVID, but it's also, you know, it's not a huge commitment either, because it's maybe once a week, but even that, I'm not there necessarily every Saturday. It's a very low commitment. And yeah, I would definitely encourage others. I do have a friend that I got involved with Building Roots. We actually volunteered together on Christmas. When I told her that was sort of what my plans were for Christmas, she was like, I want to do that too. I also like, I'm not seeing my family on Christmas. Like, let's do this. So, and ever since then, she's pretty much been with me almost like every Saturday.
Alex from Dundas Park Kitchen feels the same way.
I think right now the important thing obviously is to maintain and continue the relationship. We're learning something about this time every day. And I definitely feel like our inclusion in the process keeps us aware, and keeps us aware of a larger circle than what, you know, I might see in my day.
For Tuba, hearing this is a bit of a relief.
No one's trying to go anywhere. I think that's something that there was obviously has been seen fear around, that, you know, when the pandemic sort of gets off of people's minds, what would happen, how would we do this if we didn't have that support of that interest in the community on these issues, but doesn't seem to be going anywhere. People are still well aware and still staying informed about these issues that exist and still keen on continuing to support us. It feels really good, and it's just it's been lovely. We've met so many people over the past year, and I think it's just, I mean, despite how antisocial the pandemic has been, I say I've been very fortunate in having one of the most social years, because I've met so many people and interacted with so many good folks through the past year. It feels incredible.
Another important thing about this continued support, it allows Building Roots to stay consistent. When people keep showing up, they're able to keep honoring their commitments to the community. Over the past year, they've seen this paying off in a new way.
I think one of the ways in which this past year has impacted our relationship as Building Roots, Building Roots' relationship with the community is it feels like there is this new level of trust. So Building Roots has been working in Moss Park specifically for, I think we're coming up on 8 years. And when you're working with the community to build community-led and community-informed practices, they're built on trust. And I think certainly this year, with so many new challenges and so many new things to navigate, it took a lot of trust between Building Roots in the community and just showing the community that we were consistently going to show up.
One of the things I think people are grateful for, and I still continued to share that gratitude and support for us, is that we're still here. Despite everything that's happened, despite the restrictions, despite all of that, we've been here continuously every single weekend. We haven't closed even once since the pandemic, and even before that, we hadn't really closed that much. And I think that the consistency, that there's, no matter what, we're going to still be here, holiday, rain. Hopefully we're lucky we haven't gotten hit with a snowstorm yet, but that was the one thing that we knew that might stop us. But we've been here consistently.
I think also when you're working with a community that's traditionally underserved or disenfranchised, there is understandably a level of fear or distrust or apprehension about community services or folks coming in to work with you and provide community care or support. So that's been like really beautiful to see the past year, like the response.
Perhaps for lack of better words, but like push came to shove and we were there and they were, you know, there was this like collective spirit that we had been working towards for a long time that just really, really blossomed. I think the increase in numbers and things like that, community members coming to the market, use of our resources and services and engagement in general is like definitely a lot of new awareness about us. And also in many cases, indicative of that new level of trust where it's like, okay, we're here to support each other and we're here to like make sure we're all taken care of. And that's another thing that I think is not going to go away.
Here's Craig again.
It's been very reassuring and very satisfying to know that no matter what's going on with, you know, the incongruities of life or the darkness of COVID, that this beautiful organization called Building Roots, that trailer that I see a hop, step, and well, it's more than a hop, step, and jump, but I do see it in the close distance. What I'm trying to say in a nutshell is, in the darkness of everything that has went on in my life in the last 16 or 17 months, when the thought comes up of Building Roots and the service that I receive, it makes me smile. It's like a warm hug on a cold day. And I really can't say enough about it, to be quite honest with you.
2020 brought so much change and growth. And so far, 2021 has been pretty much the same. And the future is still uncertain. So what's next for Building Roots in Moss Park?
I would say, in 2021, Building Roots has been and intends to continue carrying this, again, this momentum of a whole new level of community support, collaboration. We recognize there will still be more to respond to over the next few months as far as COVID and how it affects us on individual and societal levels.
I guess for me, like sustainability would mean what feels good, necessary, and appropriate for the communities in which we work, for us organizationally in relation to our mission. Like, how do we keep responding and creating these programs and services, which are so necessary, but not from a place always of like emergency, from a place that is like nourishing and where we can keep going?
A lot of what we've been seeing in terms of the incredible showing of community support is ultimately the healing, and just continuing to be patient with this healing process and recognize that there's a lot of individual healing going on, and there's also a lot of community healing as well.
I think you could ask the question of like, when will the post-COVID healing take place to like 10 people and get 10 completely different answers, which is, you know, healing is really complex and not linear. And yeah, one thing that Dustin and I talk about, and I'm going to just disclose, I think it's really possible to hold gratitude and grief together. And I think one thing we're seeing in the community is like a lot of grief, a lot of mental health concerns, a lot of isolation, and a lot of addiction and overdose in the communities in which we work. So just to go back to like the gratitude and the grief that are being like held together, there's healing that takes place and there's grief that's taking place. And I think that those processes will continue forward in like a really non-linear way. But like, absolutely, there's healing that's taken place in the community. And we're like so lucky to be participating in that and witnessing that. Yeah, and it's been also really hard.
There's kind of been this underlying sense of, I don't know that optimism's the right word, but of like, I don't know. There've been a lot of smiles through this. I think a lot of the types of like interactions and experiences from last year that we've been describing like kind of are indicative of a grander healing, larger healing process.
Definitely the being able to like bear witness and participate in all of this community support and community care is so beautiful. And it demonstrates like a lot of the healing that is taking place and has taken place. Yeah.
No matter what comes next, Moss Park, with all its vibrance and resilience, is going to be just fine. And Building Roots will be there, consistently showing up in whatever way the community leads. You don't need to look any further than where it all started for Building Roots. Just pick a Saturday and head down to the Moss Park Market. There might be music and people sitting on blankets. There will be almost certainly a line. And in that line, there'll be neighbors and friends catching up or just sharing a smile. If you glance into the shipping container, you'll probably see some people you heard from in this very story, Leona and Tuba and Mary bagging heaps of fresh produce from the farm. And this will be happening rain or shine. And I want to leave you with this thing that Leona said, because I think it pretty much sums up the feeling of community spirit that we found while telling this story.
We all work together, that's about it. They still come out, grab their groceries. Nothing stops. Nothing can stop Moss Park. They still line up, get their groceries and go home. Nothing stops Moss Park.
That was the third and final episode of In Times of Change. It was co-produced by Building Roots and CJRU 1280 AM and written, edited, and mixed by Quentin Bradshaw with script consultation by me, Bailey Nargang. This episode featured the voices of Hannah Backman, Dustin Stern, who since these interviews were recorded, has become Building Roots Director of Creative Programming, Waleed Kogali Ali, Tuba Nasir, Alex So, Katie, Craig, and Leona. Thanks so much to everyone who spoke to us for this series. And of course, a huge thank you to the wonderful series narrator, Jennifer Hollett. Music in this episode was by Poddington Bear, Julian Winter, and Ketza. A full list of sound credits can be found in the show notes on CJRU's SoundCloud or whichever platform you are listening to this from. This has been In Times of Change, and thanks for listening.